Assalamu alaikum. This is Maliha Teaches for Muslim Health Talk. What exactly does Muslim Health Talk mean? It means nourishing our body, nourishing our soul, nourishing our mind, and nourishing our heart. And the best way of doing that is following the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and instilling it in our daily life. Let's get started. Bismillah. So today I want to talk about something that I'm really passionate about. You know, I'm always advocating homeschooling your child. And I guess I've never laid down the reasons why. There's so many that I can't even imagine. But one of the most important things I've realized and I've seen is that because I teach the Islamic sciences, you know, Quran, Sirah, Hadith, and other Islamic sciences to children who go to public school, I am always in contact with them, and I realize I'm beginning to understand why they have certain hyperactivities that I don't see or focus issues on being able to focus on something. Many allergies, other problems and issues that I don't necessarily see in my own children or my fellow homeschooler who has raised their kids with me, like, you know, in a co-op and in a setting where we've constantly seen each other on a regular basis. I don't see these issues in them. And just recently, it was brought to my attention even more, like it was right in my face when I teach Islamic sciences to teenage boys who are in a HIFS program. And so one of the students is my son, and they're all the same age, you know, between the ages of 11 to 15. And when it is time to focus and work on something, I've noticed that the kids that have been in public school surroundings have a difficult time. They struggle to focus. And this is not just in these kids. I've seen it many times. But this is just an example I'm trying to state. And many parents will wonder, like, okay, what's the solution? You know, does my child need to be on some sort of medication? Because that is the first thing your public school teacher may suggest, right? Or that may be the first thing your friend who has their child on Ritalin may suggest to you. I've had this happen to me. I've had my son take part in a summer camp, and he was very little, one of my boys, I think about 8. That was the first time I actually put him in a Muslim setting because I was so excited to have him be a part of something so I could take a few days in the summer, you know, just take a break from homeschooling throughout the year. And he knew that he would be able to pretty much work on something quietly or do something that he wanted to once his work was done. And mashallah, he's a bright kid, right? One thing for sure, if you teach your kids Quran, if you teach them to memorize Quran, that will increasingly help them be bright in anything else and tackle any other subject. And that's another subject for another time that I can prove to you. But my son, 8 years old, is a bright kid, and he's in a classroom. It's a summer camp setting, and they have certain work to do that's supposed to be hands-on and fun. And he quickly gets it done because this is the first time he's in a classroom setting, and he notices there's so many pretty, you know, decorations and charts and cute stuff around the room, because that's how teachers like to decorate the room. They like to put a lot of nice colors and a lot of nice designs around the room to welcome the student. But sadly, when you're in a class, and I remember being young and very curious to touch and look at the charts and at the pictures to have a closer look and go up. But most of the time, because you're in school and you're doing class and you're going from one subject to the next, you don't necessarily have the time to do that. You're not given free time to walk around and look at all those cool pictures and cool charts. And so here my boy wanted to do that. And he knew the minute he got to camp, he had to sit down and start doing something. So he never got a chance. So he made sure he got his work done very quickly. And then he would start getting up and walking around. Now this teacher took this as something negative. You know, he's not listening to me. He's not sitting down. He's always looking around. He's always, he's not paying attention to me. Sadly, teachers don't try to understand the kid. And the first thing she told me was, your son is hyperactive. I think maybe you should put him on something. And I was taken aback. You know, he talks back, he does this, he does that, he doesn't necessarily get along with the kids and all this thing. And I thought to myself, I know my boy. I know he's a little bit excited, a little bit curious, but this is a far-fetched assumption and horrible recommendation. Thank God I know my child, and I had been homeschooling him from day one. So when someone tells me or questions, I can say I have full 100% confidence to know who my child is. I've seen them through the years, not just growing up, but in their process of learning and becoming educated and teaching them. So I just looked at the teacher and I said, I'm so sorry, but maybe this camp is not something fit for him. I'm going to have to take him out. But there are many parents, unfortunately, who, when they're told their child is hyperactive, too much to handle, can't sit still, take it in a negative way and actually go to the road of trying to put their child in a box so they fit the perfect scenario of what school wants them to be like, sitting still with their hands clasped together, paying full attention, probably 6 hours during the day. From my own experience, I, as an adult, cannot sit still and focus for more than 40 minutes. And this is not because I'm hyperactive or have any sort of ADHD or anything. This is what humans can absorb. This is the amount of time that we could actually focus on a subject and not lose our train of thought. That's up to 40 minutes. So asking a child who's very curious with the world around him, especially the room that's filled with beautiful colors, to focus and sit still the whole time is a little too much, especially when they're really young. So homeschooling in this sense helps a lot, because as you homeschool at home or you put them in some sort of co-op, which is a few parents get together, bring their kids, meet together in a setting, a certain amount of days, certain amount of hours, and they hire tutors or they themselves teach certain subjects and take turn. Or you can have someone tutor your child, or you can put them in a setting where it's a lot more hands-on. It's way better alternative than just putting them into school, not knowing really who their teacher is, not knowing really who the students in the classroom are that he's interacting with 8 hours a day, and then wondering why things are going wrong and having that disconnect, maybe not right away, but eventually, beginning from the age of 10. That's just one little spiel or one little example of why I advocate homeschooling. But the topic that I wanted to discuss today was why kids are hyperactive. And there are a few posts I've written that discuss how it could be something that's in their food. So there are many flavors and dyes and preservatives and flavorings that are in their food. When we look at the food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us naturally, right? The apple on the tree, the pumpkin and the tomatoes that grow in your garden, or you get from the farmer's market, you get from the grocery store, you bring it home. Even though it has that amazing covering that it has that keeps it preserved. You know, the tomato has that nice seal, but when you put a crack in it or it's slit a little bit, it doesn't last as long as a tomato that is intact. It starts, you know, oozing out, and there's mold, and then there's a huge part that you cannot eat. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a perfect covering around a banana, so perfect, right? You don't need to refrigerate it. You can just leave it on the counter. Eventually, when you open the banana or there's a part that's cut, you will see the banana, the inside of the banana, starting to rot and go brown and eventually not edible. And this is the natural way of food to go bad if you don't eat it at the right time. It's kind of like nature is giving you an idea of when you can eat it. At what point does your food have the highest potential of vitamins and minerals and whatever it has, right? At what point? And then at what point afterwards, those vitamins and minerals begin to get depleted. And then when there's mold, now it's not even good for you to consume. There's harm in it. And this is a natural way, right? This is a natural way that we see fruits and vegetables at their peak state and at the state that we shouldn't be consuming them. But when we go to the grocery store and we notice all the products that are there, and it's supposedly, quote unquote, food for your children. Yes, there's an expiration date on it. But is it really something beneficial for your child? There are things, I'm going to cover two different dyes that are pretty harmful for your kids and yourself. The first one I want to talk about is red dye 40. And red dye 40 is found not just in food products that are colored red, but it's also in chocolate flavored food, right? And this is, people should wonder, you know, as a parent, you should say, what is red dye 40? Why do they need to dye something red? Why can they not use beet? The juice of beet, the color of beet when it bleeds, to dye food, because that is a natural food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us with color. Like sometimes when me and my kids when they were younger, when we wanted to do some sort of a project and use the red color to make something, we would use beet. It's very easy. You could either boil it, you could either put it in a cup and just leave it for a while with water, and the water would eventually turn red. I think at one point, my daughter and I were making chapstick, and we wanted it to look pink or red. We used the dye from beet. And then she asked, in her innocent young age, she said, Mommy, you know, we can get red coloring from beet. So is that what those red cupcakes are made from? And it made me think, like, mashallah, like she's actually thinking. And I said, no, actually it's not. And then of course she asked, but what is it made from? Is there something else we can use in nature, in fruits and vegetables? And I thought, No, actually, there isn't. Those things are made from chemicals. So what is red dye 40 made from? So red dye 40, and this is probably, for those who are listening from all over the world, for some of you, it might not pertain, because alhamdulillah, in your country, what organization is the Food and Drug Organization that's run by that government probably is more careful of what they put in their children's food or in the food in general. But in the US, there's a lot of leniency. And red dye 40 is a chemical compound that comes from coal tars. Coal tars are thick liquid byproducts of burning coal. Basically, it's the production of petroleum product. This is not something that one should be consuming. Many dyes, especially red dye 40, are made from coal tars and are created by mixing various fragrant smelling hydrocarbons with toluene and benzene. Hopefully I'm saying this right. Toluene is a solvent used in glues, in paints, in nail polish removers, in correction fluids, in thinners, you know, paint thinners, and many other things. But none of those things we would consume, right? Benzenes are sweet-smelling chemicals derived from natural gases and crude oil, flammable gas used in airplanes to get the motor going. So red dye 40 is found in many red-colored foods, but it could also be found in chocolate-flavored colored foods, because if you've ever baked, you know that in order to get a certain chocolate color, you need to put a little bit red, so it's not totally dark. It becomes more chocolatey. And research has linked red dye 40 to hypersensitivity, to allergy problems, to cancer, to learning impairment, to irritability, to aggressiveness. And on the label, there are many different names that red dye 40 comes on. It's not just red dye 40, and that's how they kind of trick us and mess with us, right? We read the labels and we don't know what to look for, and it's not just one name. It's not just red dye 40. They also call it Allura Red AC, E127 in Europe, FDNC Red 40, FDNC Red 40 number 4, Red 40, Red number 40, CI16035, FDNC Red number 40 Lake, and so on. So there are many food products that it's in. Definitely the strawberry cupcake, cake mixes, and sometimes even now the, what do they call those? Red velvet cakes, right? They come in Fruit Loops, you know, cereal. They even put them in chips, Doritos, and other things. They add them to a lot of drinks, soft drinks, right? Like Gatorade and Powerade and other drinks. Twizzler, those red ice creams, ices that you see, that's only sugar and water. Supposedly fruit leathers, right? They're not really made of fruit, but they have a lot of sugar and flavoring. Even applesauce sometimes has it. Top Pop-Tarts that have red inside. Many, many other things. So it's really good to look for it. And recently, just a few days ago, the company Mars, which is the maker of Skittles, the toxic candy that's allowed to be given for consumption in the US, had a lawsuit filed against them because they have harmed kids. People are now speaking up. Parents are wondering why my child is acting this way. You know, why this doesn't make any sense, right? Why does he have certain health issues? Why can't she or he focus? So that's just one thing, right? Another thing is yellow dye 5. So yellow 5 is the second most used dye in the US after red dye 40. It is in many different colored foods, not just yellow. Same thing with red and yellow. They have to kind of mix it up and get a certain color. It's kind of like if you were painting. You need different colors to make another color, and so or a very specific color. So you add all kinds of dyes. Same thing when it comes to dyeing food, right? Yellow is heavily contaminated with carcinogens, which is cancer-causing material. It is made from tartrazine. Tartrazine is a neurotoxin, which means that it affects your brain negatively. It harms it, the part in your child's brain. And studies performed on rats have shown that it causes problems in spatial memory and many other things. Research has linked yellow 5 with depression. So if you see your child is not happy and he's constantly eating junk food, he's constantly eating chips and candy, especially candy that they have in the store. Because if you've noticed, the candy that they have in the store that are geared towards children, I'm not talking about the candy that are wrapped up nicely the old-fashioned way. I'm talking about the ones that are like Skittles and I can't think of the names off the top of my head. Even gums and there are so many of them. I don't purchase them for my kids. Oh, those ring pops, right? Those lollipops that have gum in them. There's so many different kinds of candies, you know, the tarty candy, the spicy candy, the hard candy. But the ones that are geared towards children, look for these colors in them. Next time they ask you to purchase it, say, you know what, let me think. I'm a crunchy mom, and I'll admit that raising my kids, I've always tried to have alternatives. See, I'm one of those kids that grew up long time ago, and I used to go to the parties, right? We used to have certain gatherings in cousins' homes and uncles' homes and friends' homes and everything, and we were an immigrant. So when we would go to these parties, they would always have Coke with ice in a cup for you. And I would say, "Can I have water?" And they would say, "Well, we don't have water. This is all we have on the tray." And the kids would snicker at me and say, "Why aren't you drinking it? This is so good. This is like the reason why we come to these parties." And well, I'm one of those weird kids that would always ask, "Why? What's in it?" So I said, "I don't know what it is. I don't know what's in it because it's black in color. And when I drink it makes me want to burp and gives me this gassy feeling. And I don't think that's normal. Like, what is that?" And when I kept on saying, why, I convinced myself to believe, like, if I don't know, I don't feel safe. And none of my parents taught me this, you know, because my parents would bring soda. Like, soda was one of those things back home that if you had, it was a treat. The orange soda and the black Coca-Cola soda. But alhamdulillah, thank God, Allah put it in me to say, why? What is in there? And maybe because of my innocence, I questioned it. And I'm sure all kids wonder that why at first. But the minute they consume it, because it has flavoring, which I'm not going to cover in this talk, it's going to be too long, but another time. Flavorings have ingredients that are addictive. So the more your kid eats candy or drinks certain sodas, the more he will want to or she will want to have it. So it's not their fault, even though their innocence might say at first, that's kind of weird. Their body will say, no, I want more. But we'll talk about flavoring at another time. So yellow 5, that's in many of the candies and foods that are advertised to your children, causes depression. It causes low sperm count. It causes hyperactivity, thyroid tumors. It causes learning impairment. That means that your child will struggle to learn, even though they might naturally normally be very curious and be fine when it comes to learning and absorbing material. And it causes chromosomal damage. Almost 50% of the food, almost 50, about 43, marketed to children are artificially dyed. This should be like an alarm signal, which means that when you go to the store as a mom, as a parent, your alarm signal should be up. And you should realize that half of the food that are marketed to your children have dyes in them that are harmful for their little bodies, that are growing and developing and changing. Yellow 5 is also used in potato chips. It's used in candy. It's used in jam. It's used in drinks and even pet food. I mean, this is crazy, but I guess we're in a world where we feel like something should look pretty, especially with all this crazy social media and everyone putting their life out there. Things have to look pretty, like our eyes have to indulge in it. That is why when we go somewhere, we take pictures of our meal. We put it on social media to show everyone how pretty it is, especially when it's ice cream. Do you ever wonder what is making that food pretty? It is also found in vitamins. Something to think about. Children's vitamins are always very bright and vibrant in color. It's used in cosmetics. It's used in shampoo and in medication. So in 2007, a study proved that 6 different dyes were linked to hyperactivity in pre-K students and kindergarten students. The 6 were yellow 5, yellow 6, quinoline, yellow, red dye 40, carmoisin, and ponque. I don't know if I'm saying it right, 4R. These are the dyes that were causing hyperactivity in children as young as preschool and kindergarten, because that was where the study was done in that age group. European standards are not as loose as the standards that are in the US. Now, I'm not saying all European countries, certain European countries. There are warning labels on anything that has yellow 5 and it's red, may have an adverse effect on activity and attention on children. And yet in the US, we don't even have that written on in our in the labels for these products that have yellow 5. The ingredients in candy, in chocolate products in Europe are not this, and even drinks are not the same as it is in the US. Over 1,300 chemicals and toxins are banned in some European countries. Sadly, in America, they're not. There is a company I actually have started purchasing from online, and they call the box that you receive in the mail the wellness box. And if anyone's curious or wants to be part of it, it's a monthly purchase you make, just like you go to the store. You know, you go to Walmart or you go to Target or you go to Whole Foods or any other supermarket and you purchase all your stuff. This is something, or even when you purchase online on Amazon, right? You do the same thing here, but all of their products are not just European standards, but they're more than, they're beyond European standards. They're higher than European standards. They don't use any of these toxins. They're cleaner, they're greener, they're non-toxic, and they're made in the US. They're not made in China, supposedly, right? So you're a lot safer. You're able to purchase, you know, household products like shampoo and soaps and detergents, knowing that these things do not have the harsh chemicals that that's not good for you, that's not good for sensitive skin of your children. And if you guys are curious about that, I do have a LinkedIn that you can check out that has the link for a Jot form. So my LinkedIn is Linktree / Maliha Mahmood, MaleehaMahmood. So you could check that out, and it's called the Wellness Box. But before I get past that, so there's alternatives. That's what I'm trying to say. They are alternatives if you actually go out of your way and figure that out. And alhamdulillah, I found that, and I'm so happy with them. Yellow 5 is actually banned in Norway and Austria. In the US, unfortunately, in 2011, the FDA voted against using warning labels like the above label that they use in Europe, right, the one I spoke about, for the harm caused by artificial food colors. In the US, we are ingesting 4 times more artificial food colorings than when they were created or introduced 50 years ago. 4 times as much. So yellow 5 is found in a lot of candies, in jelly candies, hard candies, all kinds. And whenever you see cookies or cakes and they have the yellow coloring, or you'll know that it has yellow 5. They're in juices that look like orange juice, mustard that looks orange, Kool-Aid that has lemon flavor, M&Ms that have yellow on the outside, potato chips, like I said, Doritos and other things, Trix cereal, yellow food cake. They're even found in bouillon and many other things that I haven't even mentioned. So those are the two things I really want you guys to think about when it comes to your child not behaving, your child not cooperating, your child having a difficult time learning or absorbing material in school. For the majority of time, it's not your child's fault. Your child didn't grow up that way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him every opportunity, her every opportunity, to be able to focus, to be able to have a healthy body, to be able to understand material very easily. But when we introduce these foods and we allow our children to consume them, I know they're always begging for it. But you as a parent, you're responsible for for what happens to them. They are an amana to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you on the day of judgment. He will ask you. He will ask me. He will ask all of us. How did you raise the gift, your child, that I gave you? Did you feed them, him or her, proper food that I gave you on a tree growing from the ground? Or did you give him something that they call food, but it's really not even, it's beyond not having any nutrition. It has harm. Our children are a trust. We need to raise them properly. We need to give them every chance to become something amazing in the future, to grow up into intelligent, healthy human beings, adults. But if we continue to allow them to have candy, certain ice creams, all these foods that when you put them on the table and you leave them there for a couple of hours, a couple of days, nothing happens to them. You leave potato chips on the floor, you leave candy on the table, you leave any of those boxed cereals on the table, nothing happens. It might become a little bit soft because of the moisture around the air, but it doesn't go bad, it doesn't go rancid. It doesn't get moldy right away like fruits and vegetables that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made. Now that should make you realize that this is not food. This is not food. This will not help nourish my child. It will not give my child vitamins and minerals its body needs. It will only, if it has no harms, it has no colors, it has no flavoring, it has no preservatives, it will just maybe make my child constipated, maybe just my child will become malnourished after a while if I give him food that has no nutrition. But this, what they are advertising, what they are advertising to your children, what they are trying to get your kids hooked on, has harm in it. Hyperactivity, carcinogens, cancer, memory issues. It's a neurotoxin. They can't absorb material, learning difficulty. This is allergies. These should really make us think as parents. This is not food for our children. I beg you guys to think, to be the adult and say, no, you cannot have this. And I know it's difficult to say no to your child, but when you say no, when it comes to the term of being a Muslim, when you say no for one thing, you must have two or three things that you put in place of it. You have to become creative and find things in place of those candies. Now, in my house, when it's the season for apples or the season for peaches or the season for whatever it is, we buy a whole lot. And I have put my money in an air, not an air fryer, what is it called? It dries fruit, you know. It's a fruit dryer. It's a machine. The name is leaving me right now, but I slice it up. I put it in those trays, and it's like four different levels, and it's just heat. Or you could just slice it up, put it in your oven, put it on the lowest temperature as you want, and you are drying fruit. Dried fruit tastes so good that when you first begin to eat it, you never want to go back to candy. It tastes better than candy. Now they have dried fruit at the store. They have watermelon, dried watermelon, dried peaches, apples, passion fruit. The other day I saw a dried passion fruit, jackfruit. They have all kinds of dried fruits in the market. And there are ones that do not have any sugar, which is the best. You don't want it to be sugar loaded. The fruit itself, when you dry it, what you're doing is you are taking out the water content. And so the only thing that remains is the sugar, the fiber in and around the peel, and any vitamins and minerals that that fruit has. It's a dehydrator. The machine is called a dehydrator. And what we do is we have some fruit trees, but not many. And we take the fruits and we cut it up and slice it up and dehydrate it. Or if I don't have that, I just put it in my oven, like I said, and I dry it. And when my kids want something sweet, this is what I have. When I go on road trips, this is what I have. Because when we make stops on road trips, the first thing they want to do is spend their money on candy. And I tell them, educate your kids. Tell them about these dyes and these harmful chemicals. Ask them to read ingredients and say, well, if you don't know what it is, shouldn't that make you wonder, what is it? The label of foods should be food items, not chemicals. Our children become what they eat, what they see, what they hear, right? And we want to give them the opportunity to be the best of themselves by giving them the best foods that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made. So inshallah, may Allah help us, have the strength and the courage and the conscience to feed our children properly, to raise them in a way that would please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you for joining me, Maliha Teaches, for our Muslim Health Talk. We're on Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, and so much more. All of our links can be found on Linktree Muslim Health Talk. Assalamu alaikum.